Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Rants Podcast. I'm Chris Heil, on Twitter at TheGrizzlyBeard. I'm with special guest today, Matt Harmon. You can follow him on Twitter at MattHarmon_BYB. Matt, how are we doing today, buddy? Hello, Matt? Yeah, maybe I can hear you. Can I hear you now?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Sorry. Yep, sorry about that.
Okay. But anyways, I'm excited to talk to you today. It always feels like there's a lot to talk about, even though literally nothing is going on in the football world right now.
No, there's nothing going on, and it's just, you'll find some articles where people are just, like, beating a dead horse, where it's the same topic, twisted a little more. So it is fun to just, and that's why I have you on. We're going to talk a little football, but more about you, what's up, and just kind of what you've been able to do in the fantasy.
Sure. Well, that sounds much more interesting. I love to talk about myself.
So, Matt, I'll start off with the first question. What's the BYB on your Twitter handle? Are you going to switch it to an NFL for your new position?
I haven't decided whether I'm going to switch it or not, but BYB is just Backyard Banter, which is my website that I started out on. So I've just kind of had that in there since I started the whole writing thing. I have given some thought about changing it. I wish I could just have Matt Harmon, but someone apparently it's too common of a name. Someone else already has that. I think there's a golfer named Matt Harmon too. So, you know, it's hard when you have a boring name to distinguish yourself.
So congratulations first off on you are now starting with the NFL.com. What's going to happen? You're moving cross country, right?
Yes, I live just outside D.C. in Fairfax, Virginia, so I have to move all the way to Los Angeles. I mean, have to, quote-unquote. You know, obviously I'm excited about it, but, yeah, so I'm moving in. Next week I'll start my drive out there with my dog and some of my stuff. So it's a big move across country to, you know, work in their L.A. office, but obviously this is a dream come true job opportunity for me. So, yeah, I'll be just... Next, in a few weeks, I'll officially be a fantasy football writer for NFL.com. So it's very exciting. And it's been a blast to kind of grow up in the industry over such a short time and already kind of reach this sort of level of success. I'm very grateful for it as well.
Well, you're going cross trip in a car. Where are you stopping? Are you stopping anywhere fun, exciting, anywhere you've never been before?
Yeah, all places that I've never specifically been to. I think we're stopping, and my dad's coming with me, so he's got hotels booked the three nights that we'll stop in Memphis, Amarillo, Texas, and somewhere in Arizona that I can't remember. But so we've already got the stops all planned out. Unfortunately, since it's going to be such a try to beat the shot clock and get out there quickly sort of road trip, we won't get to do a lot of stopping at sites or, you know, do like fun stuff along the way. But I'm hoping that sometime after I move, I can come back to Virginia, you know, to visit with my mom or something and take like the longer road trip. But this time, since we'll have a truck and all the sort of stuff that goes along with that, we're not going to be doing a lot of, you know, like classic road trip sort of stuff. But that's hopefully something that's going to happen in the future.
So were your parents, like, surprised that you were able to get a job with fake sports? What was their reaction?
Yes. Well, my mom told me, you know, we had a going away party at her house last night for me with, you know, a few of my friends and some people that we know. So she was telling me and everybody, she's like, you know, when Matt first, you know, set out to, like, get a job as a fake football writer she told me, well, don't quit your day job, and which obviously I didn't, but she also said, you know, she thought that if it ever happened, it would take like 7 years or something, and really it took less than two since I started writing after I graduated from college. So this is I think she was really shocked, and my dad, he lives down in North Carolina, so he's been kind of very supportive from afar as well. And, you know, he's, I think he was really stunned as well. Of course, his first reaction was, "Oh my God, how are we going to pay for all this all this moving stuff?" So there's a lot of other complications that come with it. But yeah, they were both really pumped.
That's awesome. This is just very exciting and almost surreal for other people that have been friends with you on Twitter and just kind of followed you along the way. And we just can't say congratulations enough. It's still just very exciting. I want to say it seems like pretty much after your hit Reception Perception came out, it was blowing up, and sure enough, you were able to get a job. It just seemed like it was just perfect timing for everything.
It really is, and you know, I'm a young guy. You know, I'm 23. I'll be 24 in August. You know, I just haven't even I've been out of school for 2 years now. I don't mean to say this as if I'm, you know, that I know everything or I have, you know, any sort of wisdom that is gleaned from such limited life experience. But it's funny the way that I've learned a lot over the last 2 years, just about how funny timing is and how like life events really, you know, react to each other, and how I can really kind of trace the journey over the last 2 years to get to this point, and how everything like kind of happened for a reason, I guess. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it was. Part of why I did Reception Perception was to stand out from the crowd, you know, to not just be another guy talking about the same old stuff, but have some sort of data model that, you know, people would associate with me. So that was the goal, was to stand out, and it worked. It worked, and it worked quickly. So, you know, there's definitely some planning behind that as well.
Well, is Reception Perception going to be an NFL.com exclusive thing, or is that going to be your own little side project?
That will probably, for now at least, remain my side project. You know, I'll be able doing some of that stuff on the side with the hopes of growing it into a bigger force than it already is. You know, something that, like, you know, I'll be releasing sort of a limited publication this year, and then hoping to kind of further that in future seasons so that we have more data to work with and more context. So I'm hoping for that to still be a very large portion of what I do, but probably separate from NFL.com, at least for now.
Well, this is the question I've probably been most curious about. Of course, you want to write a different article. You want to find a stat that's so different than anything else. But Reception Perception looks like it takes so much time to just break down film, chart everything people are doing. Were you ever doing it and just like, oh my gosh, I'm in way too deep? Or is this something you were just absolutely enjoying?
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of both. I would be lying if there were, you know, weren't times where I'm just like, just ready to kind of give up because it takes so long. And especially this year when I kind of set out to just try to chart as many guys as I could over the course of the off season, without really knowing how long it was going to take. There were definitely times where it seemed like, you know, an unmanageable task. But it is something that I really enjoy. And, you know, I picked a position that when I wanted to come up with, you know, an analytical model or whatever, I wanted to pick a position that I really liked. And receiver has always been my favorite position to watch and to scout in general. So when I decided to chart something, you know, I wanted to do something that I was going to enjoy. And I do enjoy watching wide receivers play, and more so than any other position on the football field. So it's definitely a grind. It's a lot of, you know, time consuming work, like you said. You know, it's not something where I can look at a game log and then come up with my statistics within a few minutes. It's something that takes, sometimes it takes, you know, a whole day to chart out a sample that's accurate enough to convey real meaning. So yeah, it's definitely a grind, but it's something I really enjoy. I mean, I wouldn't do it if I didn't. That's just the type of person I am. I don't do anything that I don't really, or at least don't do anything professionally that I don't, you know, love to do. I'm just too idealistic to be anything else.
Well, explain to maybe some of the people listening to the podcast aren't really familiar with what exactly you do. You're breaking down, you're focusing on one wide receiver, and you're breaking down exactly what routes they're running, and kind of explain it a little more in depth if you don't mind.
Sure, yeah. So what I do is I sit down and I'll chart an 8-game sample of a receiver from their over the course of a season. Now, I know I'm, you know, like we've been saying, it takes a long time, and I'm only one man, so I don't normally chart out a whole season. But back before I debuted the methodology and, you know, was just kind of keeping it privately, I did a few, like, 16-game samples and found that 8 games was a pretty good indicative number of being able to paint the entire season. And I also pick, like, 4 really good statistical games and 4 really, you know, less inspiring ones, so that it kind of gives you an accurate picture of the whole, you know, the whole story, not just like 8 good games or 8 bad games. So basically I'm charting what routes they run, how often they're getting open on each route, whether they're beating man or zone defense. So, and then also some other like auxiliary statistics related to their contested catch success rate and like how often they break tackles. So pretty much everything the receiver does, reception perception, charts it out and illustrates it, especially with the route charts. I think they are very easy to digest and to understand. As long as you know what the route tree is, you will basically know, you'll be able to understand the series very well. So it's something that is just to give you the full picture of what a wide receiver does, especially the main metric, or whatever the correct term is. But, yeah, the main metric to reception perception is success rate versus coverage, which is something that, you know, I don't really see anybody else doing. I don't see anyone else putting that out to the public. So that's why I think it's interesting, because, you know, I'm just charting how often they beat the defense and how often they, you know, get open from man coverage or zone coverage, and then on each route. So, yeah, it's just everything a receiver does, and just putting a hard, you know, quantifiable percentage to.
Well, everyone can find the reception perception at thebackyardbanter.com. Just a quick plug here on my end. This show is brought to you by the Fantasy Asylum, or the Silent Fantasy Sports Network. You are listening to the Fantasy Sports Rants podcast, and Matt. We have guest Matt Harmon on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. Matt, is there a receiver that you've come across that you were just excited for and maybe disappointed you? And is there one that just blew you away that you are kind of secretly obsessed with?
Well, it's not so much of a secret anymore, but back in April, I put a post up on Backyard Banter about Allen Robinson and how well he played last year, you know, in the eyes of reception perception, and just how excited I was for him to have a whole healthy season, hopefully upcoming, and also to get what I predict to be a really big target workload, because he's clearly the best wide receiver they have on the roster, in my opinion. He's far superior to guys like Allen Hurns or Marquise Lee, who played the full season last year. Robinson obviously got hurt after week 10, but you know, he was getting open so easily on a lot of short routes where he'll be flashing open to the quarterback really, really quickly within the play. And I think that's going to be a big asset for Bortles, who, you know, needs a little bit more security and reliability from his receivers. So I think that there was, so back in April I put a post up about that, and of course now everybody's excited about Allen Robinson, because, you know, apparently he's having a really great mini camp, and it's just that now it's kind of commonplace that we all sort of expect him to break out. But that was one that really I liked a lot going through charting him. One guy who disappointed me was probably Sammy Watkins, and I think that, you know, I anytime you talk about Watkins on Twitter, it always turns into sort of a war. So I've kind of grown weary of fighting that battle. But what I'll just say about him is that, you know, he really – his reception perception statistics were just not very good, as far as how often he got open against man coverage. It was well below the charted NFL average that I have. So – and I just think that's not totally on him. Obviously, he was not healthy last year, and that was pretty clear watching him, that there were games where he just really struggled to move. And so I think that took away – and I think that hurts a lot of receivers, especially when he had, like, a hip injury he had last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really sacrifices a lot of what makes him a good player, is that – he's very fluid. His lower body is very flexible, and he can use that to get open. And obviously with that, with his hip being compromised last year, I think that's why his reception perception sample looks so poor. But I also just want to caution people that to at least open your mind to the possibility that we might not ever see what we expected to see from Watkins when he was coming out of the draft. So that was one guy that disappointed me. And then kind of like a secret guy that I haven't really talked about much, but who came out really well in reception perception, that was Stevie Johnson, who, you know, signed with the Chargers this year. And I think that what he does really well, I think, is going to jive with Phillip Rivers. And I think that he could have a surprising season there. I know Malcolm Floyd has been a long-standing guy there and has a good relationship with Phillip Rivers, and Keenan Allen is a pretty good young player. But I think that Stevie Johnson is going to carve out a role there, probably take some of the workload that Eddie Royal is leaving behind, but be just a more proficient player. And so we know that Royal had a few almost annoying fantasy weeks because it's not like he's a guy that was on anybody's roster. But he would always maybe, you know, score a couple touchdowns and have a relevant week. So I think that Johnson could take over some of that workload, and he's a guy that I'm pretty excited about if he gets on the field in San Diego as a, you know, feature part of their offense. I think he could surprise some people.
I love it. I've been getting Stevie Johnson so late in drafts because most of the time he's not even being drafted, and I just kind of take him as a late flyer because you're not really sure what's going to happen in the situation out in San Diego, and I still think it could be somewhat fantasy relevant. He's not going to be a guy who throws up 30, 40 points for you, but I think he's going to be that guy who's going to average 5-6 catches, 80 yards, and you just hope for that touchdown each and every week. And so I think he's going to be that just kind of that safety guy that you can throw in at flex if you need to. He's going to be great trade bait. He's going to be that overall great piece for your team.
Well, I just think that's a really, you know, perfect assessment of how I feel about him as well. And in you know, NFL 10, you can get him so late, or, you know, around the 15th round or something like that, that, you know, that's sort of safe 5 catches, 80 yards or whatever. I think that there are going to be some weeks that some of the guys you drafted higher than him disappoint you, but you won't have to pay for that in a best ball league. So I think he does offer a lot of value in draft.
I agree. So I have your Allen Robinson reception perception up. The one question I have, and I don't know if you go into this, do you chart who also covers a guy or not? Does a number one cornerback going up against a guy matter at all in your assessments?
Yeah, no, unfortunately I don't really have a way to, because it would just add so many more hours to the work. I don't really have a system for cornerbacks yet.
Sure.
I always try to make a anecdotal footnote about who's covering them. Like, yeah, I mean, we know some guys get covered by number one corners, you know, like Dez Bryant, Antonio Brown, those guys draw a lot of attention from defenses. But yeah, some of these lesser known guys, they might get open more because they're facing lesser competition. I will say that I would, and talking about expanding reception perception, I would love to someday be able to incorporate that into the analysis, like showing who, kind of factoring that in some way that, like, okay, well, this guy was getting open a lot, but he was also not facing not facing number one corners or something. So that's something that I want to look into in the future, but I don't really have a way to objectively do it without never sleeping. So that's just something that's not on the table right now.
Yeah, I looked at, I saw you do the man versus zone, versus press. You do all these different things. And that was the first thing when I was looking at Robinson, I was just like, I was wondering who's exactly guarding him. Is it the number one, number two? Because sometimes statistics can be a little inflated when they go against a team's number two, or maybe they're always in the slot in a nickel. There's just sometimes, like, with that. That's why I asked the question, because when I try to look at stats, sometimes you also have to keep a mental note of, hey, the success may not be as good, but it's still going to be good.
Right, no doubt about it. And two comments on that. One, you know, I think also, like, success is success. Of course, like, it's, you know, quote unquote better, or you need more skill to beat a guy who's a better player. But you know, getting open is getting open, and that's really all that matters. you know, and it's a results-based statistic. So, you know, you're just pretty much looking at what happened. And of course, when you start stacking up guys, you can run into some problems there. But that leads me to my second point, in that I think that all stats in football are, like, everything is so interdependent in the sport that you can't ever, like, completely accurately quantify something with one stat. So while, of course, reception perception does, I think it does a good job of showing what a wide receiver does, there's also parts where the quarterback's role, the cornerback covering them, those things are going to affect the results. So you have every football stat, there are always going to be differences like that.
Well, Matt, we're going to go ahead and wrap up your part here. Again, you are excited, and I'm just as excited for you to start your journey at NFL.com. You're going to be doing fantasy football over there, which is just as even more exciting. Do you know what your role is going to be exactly, or you just go in and kind of blind?
I imagine that I'll probably be doing more editing probably my first year out there than actual writing, but I know we do have to do work on sponsored content, which is obviously just like your general fantasy stuff during the season that, you know, brings in the money. But I know that they're very open to new ideas, and like I know someone who started out there last year, he in the same position that I have, he was just came up with an idea and they made it a weekly feature. So I definitely consider myself, you know, having no shortage of ideas. So it just will be, I think I'm going out there just kind of with an open mind, you know, whatever is expected of me, I will definitely do that. But I also plan on, you know, I'm the kind of person that everything I do, I try to do it 110%. So I'm definitely going to try to go out there and add a lot to what's going on there.
The final question I have for you, Matt, is what's your sports team? Is it going to be hard for you to be out in LA?
No, the funny thing is, I mean, I love football, like, no doubt about it. My family's originally from North Carolina, so I've followed the Carolina Panthers pretty much my whole life. Even though I live here in Washington, I don't really have any interest in rooting for the Washington team. So, you know, I've always been a Panthers fan, but as far as other sports go, I don't have any other sports team. I can sit down and watch basketball or hockey or something like that. I like to watch other sports, but I've just never been that inclined to be an aggressive fan for any other team. Just because, I don't know, maybe it's just a reflection on me as a person, but I'm not like an outwardly expressive person. So I don't really get like hyped when a team does something. I don't know. It's just never been a part of who I am. So it probably won't be a big deal, but you know, I think there's a lot of interesting teams out in LA, you know, as far as the NBA goes. So that's going to be exciting, and we'll see if they get a football team out there anytime soon.
Do you have a home league that you're going to miss the draft this year, or anything different like that?
I have a few leagues that I've been in with some friends for a few years, but we all, like, when we all went off to college, you know, we all went to separate places, so we've never had like a centralized draft. Well, not in the last 5 years or so have we had like a place where we all like get together and draft a team. I'm hoping to have some sort of experience like that again, but for right now, yeah, I'll probably still try to maintain those leagues. But I don't know about you, Chris, but I know that last year I went a little overboard with all these, like, you know, getting invited into writer leagues and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and also trying to maintain that, and then like my home team, my dynasty teams, and play daily fantasy. It was just too much. So this year I'm like committed to cutting down my leagues. I'm really, really serious about it. And of course I say that now, and then, you know, it'll be August and I'll find myself in like 15 leagues again. So I have to be careful. But yeah, I'm definitely committed to cutting down this year.
You are absolutely right on that. Every year I say, I need to cut down. And every year I'm so stressed out on Sundays of what league did I miss? Which one did I not put a lineup? Did I check the waiver on this one? And
it's
just, it almost becomes more of a chore than it is
yep.
fun. So I've promised myself, and I know I've already joined a couple leagues, and I'm already stressed out about it. So we'll see how I end up this year. And Matt, I absolutely want to appreciate you coming on, and you're welcome on anytime. Good luck with everything, and enjoy your ride. It's a long one.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm very excited about the whole thing, and thank you so much for having me on. It was good talking to you, and definitely I'll come back sometime soon.
All right. Well, everyone, that was Matt Harmon. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. You can also find his work at BackyardBanter.com. This is host Chris Heil on the Fantasy Sports Rants podcast. I'm going to do something a little different today. We're going to go into a live Periscope podcast here also. So we're going to do, I'm going to have people tweeting questions, or not necessarily tweeting, but asking questions on Periscope. We're going to have the feed live, and we're going to do a live mock draft with people and their questions. So give me just a moment here. I'm going to kind of talk to you. Fantasy football, I'm logging on right now. Fantasy football mock draft. I should probably be doing one or the other, but I'm doing both. I'm going to do a podcast and a live Periscope with it. So let's go ahead and get this thing going. And so starting the broadcast now. We'll see how well this goes. And it says you are live now. So we are live. We're getting ready to do a mock draft here. The way that we're going to get to this mock draft is a little different. The mock draft's going, we're at fantasysportsrants.com. As you can see on my computer screen, I'm going to be talking to my followers here also. You click on this little thing that says Fantasy Football Mock Drafts, and it's presented by fantasypros.com. Click on the Fantasy Pros, and it says start a mock draft for free. We click on that button, and we are now here, draft simulator, or mock drafts by Fantasy Pros. And so the followers are starting to join in on Periscope. So start drafting here. And it's going to ask me here, how many number of teams do we want? And so we're going to do 12-team. We'll do a PPR format, which is points per reception. And I'm going to have the people on Periscope message out what place they want me to rank at. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You let me know where you want me to draft, and the first person that answers on Periscope, we're going to go with that position. So go ahead, people. Message me on here. Let's go ahead and get this going. I'll give you just a second here. Get this draft going. So looking. And so we're going to go ahead, and we'll go from the fifth position. So if you're not familiar with fantasypros.com, it is a fast simulated draft, so we're not going to have very much time really in between anything. So I just click start your mock draft, and here it's loading up. And so the first four picks went, number one was Adrian Peterson, number two, Le'Veon Bell, number three, Jamaal Charles, number four, Antonio Brown. So it puts me on the board. It's showing that these are the best available guys, Matt Forte, Eddie Lacy, Demaryius Thomas, Rob Gronkowski. So let's go ahead and see what do you think I should do here for a strategy. I really want to try to get a nice, reliable running back. We have, like I mentioned, the guys available. We also have Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson, Arian Foster, Marshawn Lynch, C.J. Anderson, LeSean McCoy. Let's go ahead and I think we're going to stick with Eddie Lacy here in this position. Just a nice, reliable guy who also has hands. I think he's going to be the safe pick in this position. So at the 1.5 position, we picked Eddie Lacy. Right after Eddie Lacy was selected here, I'm going to zoom this out on Periscope for the followers on here. Eddie Lacy taken by me at 1.5, then Matt Forte, Rob Gronkowski, Julio Jones, Jimmy Graham going very early at 1.9. Arian Foster at 110, Marshawn Lynch at 111, Odell Beckham at 112, Dez Bryant at 2.1. So someone there on their swing was able to get Odell Beckham and Dez Bryant. Not a bad draft there. Then Jordy Nelson, Demaryius Thomas, Calvin Johnson, LeSean McCoy, C.J. Anderson, and A.J. Green. So now it's back to me. I earlier selected Eddie Lacy. I have Alshon Jeffrey, Randall Cobb, DeMarco Murray, Mike Evans. And so we're going to look at what's the best available here. Also, we have Jeremy Hill, who's available, Justin Forsett, T.Y. Hilton, Andrew Luck, DeAndre Hopkins. So let's go ahead and do something a little different here. I like DeMarco Murray, and I really, really like him in the Philadelphia offense. They had the number two rushing offense last year as far as offensive line. I think DeMarco Murray is going to fit in perfect with that. I could see where you make a statement for Jeremy Hill, but I really like Justin Forsett, and especially in PPR with the new offensive coordinator. I think we're going to go with Justin Forsett here. It's going to be a little different pick, but we're going to go running back here, and then we're going to see if we can stockpile some wide receivers a little later in this draft. And so we selected Justin Forsett. Like I said, it is a little different. I probably should have went with DeMarco Murray, who I felt more comfortable with, but I wanted to mix it up a little bit. So right after me, of course, DeMarco Murray goes, Jeremy Hill, Andrew Luck, Randall Cobb, Alshon Jeffrey, Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton, Aaron Rodgers, and now it's up to me, which Aaron Rodgers would have been a great selection there. That's someone I really probably would have wanted to target. So we want to get a wide receiver here. Let's look who the best wide receivers are. DeAndre Hopkins, 50% of the time being drafted in this position. Emmanuel Sanders, Brandon Cooks, and Russell Wilson. I like DeAndre Hopkins. I really do. However, him being your wide receiver one is just too much of a gamble for me. I want someone that's going to be a little more reliable. So we're going to look at who's available here, and we might even go with another running back. We'll see. DeAndre Hopkins, Emmanuel Sanders, Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, Frank Gore, Lamar Miller, C.J. Spiller, Mark Ingram, Alfred Morris, Julian Edelman. All guys are pretty decent. The followers on Periscope, go ahead and throw in who you want me to draft. I can tell you who I'm going with. I want to take Mark Ingram in this position. Last year he finished as the number 12 running back. The offensive line has been beefed up even more. So they've traded and got Unger from the Seattle Seahawks. They drafted another lineman. So they have two new linemen. They're committed to running this year. And I think Mark Ingram's going to be a very handsome guy in the fantasy community. He's got the hands, so in PPR, I like him. Mark Ingram, I just took this draft, and I went Eddie Lacy, Justin Forsett, Mark Ingram. I'm set up through my two running backs in a flex position. Let's see who's taken after Mark Ingram. Melvin Gordon, Emmanuel Sanders, Brandon Cook, Kelvin Benjamin, Andre Johnson, Frank Gore. DeAndre Hopkins taken at 312. Again, a little later than what they were saying here. Lamar Miller, Julian Edelman, which is who someone I would have been okay with having as my wide receiver one there. Jordan Matthews, Tavius Murray, CJ Spiller. The CJ Spiller train needs to end. He's not going to be as drafting 0.5 is just silly to me. Drafting him ahead of Andre Ellison, I just get it. And then DeSean Jackson. So let's go ahead and move over to who the best guys are to draft and who we're going to take in this position. We have Brandon Marshall, Golden Tate, Russell Wilson, and Keenan Allen. And we'll see what else we have. Maybe there's a good tight end. We'll just kind of see what's going on here. This is their top. And as it shows here on here, it shows Cuff, which is a hand for the guy. Alfred Morris, again, great value. I don't need a running back now. I really need to start focusing on wide receivers. So let's go ahead and look at who we have wide receivers. Brandon Marshall, okay, Keenan Allen, Peyton Manning still available, Amari Cooper, T.J. Yeldon. We're going to try to go ahead and get two receivers here in this, and I'm going to go with Golden Tate here. It's a little different, but I think he has the better quarterback than the other guys we're looking at here. He's also been around in the NFL a little longer. He's been able to prove himself when Megatron is down. So we're now in the fifth round. So to finish out the fourth round, I had the 4.8. Alfred Morris went after Travis Kelce, Carlos Hyde, Peyton Manning at 4.12, Joseph Randall at 5.1. And that's where Joseph Randall's going nowadays. Sammy Watkins, 5'2", Keenan Allen, 5'3", and then Amari Cooper at 5'4". And so let's go ahead and look at what we have available here. We have Brandon Marshall going high. Russell Wilson, still great value there. Greg Olsen, Jeremy Maclin, and we're going to not even look anymore. We're going to take Greg Olsen here. The reason we want Greg Olsen is because he was able to put up huge numbers last year, and he's still going to be that main guy in Carolina. He's the trustworthy guy, end zone guy, does a little bit of everything. And we'll see if we can get some guys here with some more value, able to go ahead and do a little more for us. So people on Periscope, if you want to answer anything, again, I am also live podcasting with this from the Fantasy Sports Rants podcast. So Drew Brees taken at 5-6, Brandon Marshall, Jarvis Landry, Joyke Bell, Giovanni Bernard. We're going to skip a little bit to who I have available now. Jeremy Maclin is the top guy they want me to take here at 73%. Don't really want him because of the quarterback situation. Alex Smith just does not throw down the field. Tony Romo, Eric Decker, and then Allen Robinson. And so if you listen to the podcast, the Fantasy Sports Rants podcast, you'll know that we were talking about Allen Robinson and the success we think he's going to have and be our second receiver. I think that's a perfect spot to take him. You're gambling a little bit, but I think he still holds great value. So we're looking at the draft here. We have Ed Lacy. We have Justin Forsett, Golden Tate, Allen Robinson, Greg Olsen, and then Mark Ingram. Of course, those leagues are set up with a flex. This one does not have a flex on it, but I am still drafting as if there would be a flex. And so we're going to go ahead and do two more rounds of this. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the podcast and the Periscope here. Quarterbacks that are still available, Tom Brady, Matt Stafford, Ryan Tannehill, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers. Really, it's getting to the degree, and I don't need to rush for any of these guys. If I get Tom Brady, who I think is going to play a full season, that's another topic, but I'm fairly certain that he's going to play a full season this upcoming year. Matthew Stafford's available, Ryan Tannehill, any of these I'm kind of okay with. This is one of the things about drafting late or picking value where you can wait on quarterbacks. I think waiting on a quarterback is kind of a smarter, trendier thing. TJ Yeldon, though, is everyone's kind of waiting on him. Edelman's still available. Amir Abdullah, Rashard Jennings. So we're going to go ahead and look at who else is available. And we're going to go with, like we said, it's a PPR league. So guys like Shane Vane hold terrific value. Steve Smith, not really going to have that value. I'm going to go with Tom Brady in this position because we want to go ahead and lock up a quarterback. He's going to still be the better of any of those quarterbacks available. So Tom Brady is our selection. Great value at this late in the draft. And so for our final selection here, let's go ahead and let's take our final wide receiver. We have Eric Decker, not trusting the quarterback situation in New York. Floyd really not showed any type of consistency. Let's see who else we have available. Larry Fitzgerald right there with Michael Floyd. He's really been dwindling and dwindling down. Mike Wallace, not really trusting that. Anquan Boldin, Torrey Smith, Kendall Wright, who I like a little more than some of those guys. Let's go out on a huge one here. Let's take Darren McFadden. Why not? A guy who could end up in the starting job in Dallas. I think he's a guy who we can kind of gamble with. My team set up the other three running backs. As I mentioned, Darren McFadden is going to kind of be that lottery pick. If I hit on it, trade value is going to be amazing. I can get whatever I want, when I want. I can upgrade my receivers, plus get another backup running back for that situation. So at this point, I was able to do that. Still saved on wide receiver as I went a little later. Let's go ahead and take Eric Decker now. Like I said, just the quarterback situation. The value in the round 9. He's still a end zone threat. He's still a valuable wide receiver. We'll take him, and then we're going to go with another wide receiver here at the. We're going to take Torrey Smith in San Francisco. I think that's exactly what Colin Kaepernick needed. He needs that deep target, so we're going to take him now in the draft, and we're going to wrap up the Periscope. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. We'll do another one of these soon, and the Fantasy Sports Rants podcast is still going on. thank you guys for tuning in. I went a little longer than I typically do for a show. I wanted to kind of do the mock draft, and I had Matt Harmon. Again, you can follow him on Twitter, at @MattHarmon_BYB. Could change. We don't know yet. Again, you follow me on Twitter, at @TheGrizzlyBeard. And the Fantasy Sports Rants podcast is presented by the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and you all have a great evening.